Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Pop Culture University, the university where you learn everything that is going on in the world of pop culture and see what life lessons you can get from it for your own life. Doesn't that sound amazing? Educational, inspirational. What could make it better? Having the sexiest podcast host in the world sensually whisper all of this amazing tea right into your ear. This is some premium $30 a month OnlyFans ASMR right here that you're getting for free. If it is your first time here, thank you so much for coming. Take a seat in the classroom wherever you would like. Everyone is welcome here, including the bisexuals, especially the bisexuals. They put the B in the LGBT. If it is not your first time here, thank you so much for coming back. I love you. I stan you. I'm in your fandom. And honestly, at this point, you're like the longest relationship I've ever had because all these guys hate me. If you do not know me, my name is Patty Emminger. You may know me as Patty Pop Culture from TikTok, where I'm spreading the honest truth, the hard truth that not a lot of people can handle on the internet. So I'm a bit of a controversial figure. I hope you all had an amazing Memorial Day weekend. It's ironic that Memorial Day is all about remembering things, but I always forget what that holiday's about. And don't lie, you've definitely forgotten too. Is it just a day off school or work for you, or just a drinking holiday? Is that your major association with Memorial Day? Probably. However, it is actually, I always knew it was something about the military and America, fuck yeah. But I didn't, like, I would specifically forget that it's about those who served in the country and died. So I can't think of a better reason to have a holiday to honor those amazing soldiers. So happy Memorial Day, everyone. I hope you had a wonderful day with friends and family, the joy and happiness and red, white, and blue spread all around. There's some major controversy going on with America right now on the home front of our favorite supermarket. America's favorite pastime, Target, is having a lot of controversy because of the LGBTQ pride collections and displays that have been put out. There has been bomb threats. Employees are not safe. And it is making Target have to change how it handles pride, which is making a lot of people mad. So we must talk about that. Then we need to talk about The Little Mermaid. Did it bomb at the box office? Did it do good? Did it raise to expectations? Did it not meet them? Was it worth the hype? We need to talk about all about that, plus controversy going on with the character Ursula. Then we need to talk about Taylor Lautner from Twilight getting absolutely cyberbullied because people say he is no longer as hot as he once was and actually looks terrible. Lastly, we need to talk about the most sad, tragic Taylor Swift song she's ever released that she put out this week that proves that Midnights was always the breakup album. Plus something she did at her Eras tour that proves that her and Joe are officially done. She confirmed it. So before we get into everything, make sure you follow this podcast or subscribe to it. Rate it 5-star Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You're already here. You may as well do so. Screenshot yourself listening to it. Post it to your Instagram story and tag me. And that helps the podcast get spread around because we don't have big companies pushing it for me. And yeah, without further ado, get in your seats. Pay attention because Pop Culture University is beginning. No, don't get stressed. It's gonna get figured out. All deep conversations. I know I pull out. Headstrong father. When I just show you love. Oh, that's why some nights we try to kill each other. But you know it's always love. Oh, la, 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 la. But you know it's always love. So I need to ask you guys a question. I need to know what you're doing this summer as it pertains to tanning. Are you for tanning? Are you about the bronze? Are you going to lay out on the beach? I almost said, are you about the bronze, trying to get as dark as LeBron? But that would not be politically correct to say, so I did not say that. But the rhyme just came to my head. I was like, oh my God, Nicki Minaj should talk about that. However, are you really going to lay out? Are you going to lay by your pool and let the UV rays penetrate your skin like that? Are you just going to let the UV rays inside you like that? I want to. Growing up, I was always so into tanning, really in my teens. I love being toned, tan, fit, and ready. Turn it up because it's getting heavy. But lately, with all of these social campaigns about how awful tanning is for you and infographics about what UV rays really do to your skin. Have you seen that photo of that truck driver who on one side of his face where the light shines in through the driver's seat window, he looks really aged and like just rapidly more aged. Sunspots on his face, skin sagging more. It just looks three times as wrinkled. And then on the other side, he looks just normally aged. I don't want that. I don't want that for myself. And I'm always on like wellness TikTok, and there's such sticklers about it reminding you how awful the sun is. And even if you use SPF, your goal should be to not let yourself just lay in the sun for hours. You should only let yourself get sun exposure if you are outside doing your daily activities or having fun or whatever, but you should never really just be basking in the sun like that. So let me know if you're going to tan this summer or what your strategies are to just get bronzed and beautiful and not burned and absolutely destroyed by the flaming yellow ball in the sky. I guess I'll just be pasty though. I've been trying to embrace the pale and look like a 1700s president. That's just my vibe for now. I'll look as ghastly. Something else that's so bad for you that really shocked me this week is that I saw Jenna Ortega smoking a cigarette. Oh my God. It looked as though she was on the set of some movie studio or TV studio, and she was in the back of the lot taking a break and just talking to someone, maybe someone who's working on the production. She looked pretty stressed, maybe wanted to take the edge off, but she had a cigarette in her hand. I was so shocked and disgusted a bit by seeing her do that, because she was doing that nonchalant, I'm so cool and too cool for school, attractive, edgy pose. Like, she had her leg up and her one arm crossed and then the other one holding out the cigarette kind of bent outwards. I was like, are we still doing that? Are we still trying to look cool with a cigarette or turning to inhaling tobacco into our lungs to take the edge off? That's fucking nuts for me. And I totally empathize with everyone who deals with addiction or has begun smoking cigarettes, and it's not easy to quit at all. I have seen family members go through that so hard. Major respect. But at the same time, I feel like Gen Z just has all the tools at their disposal, and our parents before that have taught us how bad it is. Both my grandparents on my dad's side, or at least one of them, I believe. Well, both of them smoked, but one of them died way earlier than hoped for, obviously, because of smoking. So my dad always says if he ever caught us smoking, he would take our hands and break them so we couldn't hold a cigarette again. I've never taken a puff. I never even vaped. I just don't smoke like that. But Jenna Ortega, to me, she screams the least Gen Z person in Gen Z as a whole, right? I feel like mentally she's living in the 1970s. For her, it's not 2023. Like, a Wednesday was filmed in real time. It wasn't seen as a period piece of back in the day. For her, that was just like real life. I don't know. I think she idolizes those images, those actors back in the day, and maybe thinks smoking is cool. But I'm just scared because I always see the infographics and the like graphs of when a public figure starts smoking cigarettes and glorifies it. The trend will have an influx and kids will start smoking more. And I get so mad when I see TikTokers buying like Melbourne's or whatever the brand of cigarettes are. I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you buying a pack a day? You're so insane. And stop influencing people to do that. So I hope Jenna Ortega stopped, and I saw a lot of fans being disappointed with her. And I just think it's nasty. But what can we learn from that? Smoking is not cool. It's never cool. You just look silly. And jeopardizing your own health and millions of other things. You will prematurely age, like we were just talking about. Jeopardizing all those things is not worth looking cool to people. Being smart, being about your health and wellness is cool. That's the sexiest thing. I have a friend who smokes, and anytime she does around me, she doesn't smoke every day, but she'll do it to take the edge off at night, or maybe if we're drinking, I'll like walk by her and be like, as if her secondhand smoke is killing me. Ugh, I feel bad doing it, but at the same time, I'm like, come on, girl, you're way smarter than that. It's such a waste of money too. And then you're going to get diseases from it that will waste your money and time and life. And there's just no good part of it. So don't do that. But anyway, speaking of tone, tan, fit and ready, turn it up because it's getting heavy. Let's talk about Taylor Lautner. He used to be the sexy werewolf teenager in Twilight that had all of us considering bestiality. I know I was. I feel like I would definitely be Team Jacob. He's just my type. Like a tall, dark and handsome man. My type. Edward was a little slender man for me. Doesn't really do much for me, that's for sure. But yeah, we remember him as this body goals, setting the toxic male body standard, carrying the toxic male standard on his back, his sexy back. And good for him. He looked amazing in those movies. But now he's being called ugly all over the internet because everyone's saying that he aged terribly, absolutely horribly. And when's the last time you saw Taylor Lautner? I feel like he's been kind of blacklisted from Hollywood. He hasn't gotten a lot of big roles in anything. Ever since Twilight, I saw him in Scream Queens in 2016, season 2 of that show. That was a pretty big Fox show. And he was still cast as the sexy doctor. He was playing the hot guy role. So we still had it back then, I guess. I thought he looked good in it. Good in it. I'm not trying to spoil the show for you, but he was the killer. Sorry, but I mean, it's been like 7 years, girl. But anyway, he just came back to TikTok. I'm playing it right now, if you can hear in the background. But he just came back to TikTok, and he has a wife. His name, her name is also Taylor Lautner, because he's a narcissistic freak. He needs to marry someone and give them not only his last name, but also his first name. I'm kidding, but she was also born as Taylor. So now they're Taylor Lautner. It seems like he was seeking that out, because he also dated Taylor Swift. I don't know, but that's not the point, but that's fucking weird. However, he posted a video and it was like a pussy stunt of him putting on a suit jacket but with no shirt underneath. So you can kind of see his stomach. He's trying to look sexy, drink wine, like have Tom Ford sunglasses on and lay in a sexy pose. But he did not get the, ooh, he's so sexy response that I think he wanted. It was actually quite the opposite. So let me just read some of the comments. This one says, he aged like a raisin. He did not age well. Goodness. Wait, he looks so old. What the fuck happened? Damn, he looks like shit. Bro, where is his hairline running off to? Looks like Ratatouille putting the years on him. This guy looks like old broccoli. Hair transplant would look great. That hairline looks empty. Uh-oh, not aging well. People are so fucked up for that. They're so nasty. And I don't know if you've seen Taylor Lautner these days, but you'd probably expect to see Shrek after reading those comments. Just a literal ogre of a human. But he's not. He looks good. He looks fine. He looks like a normal guy. And I would still put him on the more attractive than the average man scale. And I think a lot of girls would as well. But people are just comparing him to that body that he had in the 2010s time. As compared to now, I never even saw a lot of the Twilight movies. I think I only saw one of them because I was staying at my cousin's that weekend and she was like a really big fan. It was like 2011 and her mom was like watching us and her mom came downstairs and she was like, the new Twilight movie comes out tomorrow. Do you guys want to see it? And I was like, no, I'm not a big fan. You know, I don't have to see it. And then I turned to my cousin. She's like crying because she wants to see it so bad, but she doesn't want to make me see it. So I turn back to my aunt and I'm like, oh no, I 100% want to see it. I must see that movie. I must go tomorrow. So we went and saw it and it was good. Definitely was turned on by Jacob the whole time. He's mentioned before how much that process has fucked him up though. He said that during the filming of the first movie, he was 140 pounds. And if you're like a grown man with muscle and you only weigh 140 pounds, you are starving. Like you are starving, and then when you are eating, you're only eating high protein, low calorie foods that are not satiating. They don't taste good. They're not satisfying to your appetite. So he was really fucking himself up for that role. And then by the last film, he was 157 pounds. He said people would already comment on how he looks fatter in the last one than the first one. Like, he was already getting bullied back in the day. Was he on a performance-enhancing drug? I'm going to guess yes, probably. He was quite young, but I still wouldn't doubt he was on maybe Anavar or some light steroid. I think Anavar is the one that helps you keep your muscle, but also look really lean and, like, veiny and sexy. So he was really fucking himself up. This is what he had to say about it on his podcast back in the day before this recent wave of body shamers. He said, "That was not my natural body. I had to work very hard to get that. I had to work very hard to even maintain it. Your body can look unbelievable. You can be ripped, shredded, lose weight, put on muscle. But if you're not healthy mentally, then that's all for nothing. It can work against you." And he was saying how he would be so depressed and anxious to leave the house because if he was looking less than perfect, someone would comment on it. And I absolutely agree. I was chasing that kind of appearance in the past, and I just can't agree more with him that, yeah, maybe I stereotypically would fit the body standard more. I would say maybe in like 2021 when I was a little bit skinnier, but I would have no energy. I'd be so tired and slumped, not as much as myself. I felt tortured by my routine and my appetite wanting so much more, and it was not a fun way to live. And then in 2022, I kind of like loosened the reins and I was so much more productive, had more energy, and just felt like myself more. I was so happy. Like, you don't even realize how just eating casually or intuitively what you want makes you so much happier as a person. And that year, I was so much more productive. I remember I gained like 2 times as many followers that I did the year before, and I got out 2 times as many posts just because I had the energy to do so. And I think the hairline comments that he got are so cruel. He's a good man. Taylor Swift has even given him the stamp of approval for being a good man. "I miss your tan skin, your sweet smile, so good to me, so right." He was so good to her. And she's mother. She psychoanalyzes all these men. And he still passed her test. So you don't bald shame good men. You save that for misogynists and women haters. That's who you save the rightful balding comments for, just to give them a taste of their body shaming ways. But it's really devastating and painful for men to lose their hair, even if their ego won't let them admit it, even if they're quiet about it. I experience hair loss. I know I've talked to you guys about this before. I'm getting more hair shots next week to help keep my hair on my head. I'm getting like 10 needles put into my head next week. I'm excited about it. But so I'm in the hair restoration scene, and these hair restoration videos have millions of views. These hair restoration businesses are billion-dollar businesses. So this hurts all men who are experiencing that really cruelly and deeply, because it's like you're seeing your hair go a little bit every day. You just have this pain every single day and the sense of impending doom that you get reminded of the clock ticking. It's extremely anxiety-inducing. So I really feel for guys when they get those kind of comments. And his hairline really isn't that far back at all. Like, he looks fine. But this was his response to the bullying, and I think there's a good lesson in there for us.
If this was 10 years ago, 5 years ago, maybe even 2-3 years ago, that really would have got under my skin, and it would have caused me to want to just go in a hole and not go outside. Definitely don't do press and interviews and put myself in the position where, you know, I have to see that kind of stuff. And that was a really unhealthy position to be in. And the reason I was in that position, and the reason it affected me as much as it did, is because my value was in the wrong things. And I'm just so thankful that I am in the place I am today where I can see that. And I'm not gonna lie, I'm not gonna say it doesn't bug me. I wouldn't be on here posting this video if it didn't bother me at all. But it doesn't make me question who I am. And it doesn't take anything away from me.
So what can we learn from this? I think that we can learn, first of all, that Taylor has aged well. He's aged well mentally, he's mature, he's self-assured, strong, and wise. And he's a good role model, honestly, for people like me. These trolls online age like milk, because they're sad and depressed and bullying actors in their comment section to try to make themselves feel better about their lives or their anxieties that bring them down, their insecurities that torture them during the day. So they're the ones who aged badly, aged horribly. And I think we can learn from him. He's so wise when he said, you can find value in what you put value in. So yeah, these comments may get to him, they may affect him, but it's very wise that he said, but they don't make me question who I am or my worth, because that's not where I put my value. So that's where I'm not going to rest the value of myself on. And I think for our lives, we can let ourselves judge how we see ourselves as valuable. And I hope you guys don't place your value on what people say about you or a guy that rejected you or what your haters have to say about your appearance or what you do, your hobbies, your job, whatever. That's not where you put your value as a person. You put your value on your morals, who you are, how you treat people, how you make people feel, how hard you work, how true you are to yourself. There's so many more important things to put your value into than what people say about you. So the next time those things hurt you or make you feel down, never let yourself think worse of yourself, because you shouldn't let yourself put your value in that.
And band, yeah. He's little clam here, know how to jam here.
Ananasi.
Each little slug here, cut in a rock here.
Ananasi.
Each little. As if the conservatives aren't taking enough from the LGBTQ plus community with the 500 plus bills trying to take away our rights, they're also taking away our favorite pastime, which is going to Target. I feel like a lot of Gen Z kids, especially before they're old enough to maybe drive or go out to the bars or whatever. Like, going to Target is just seen as like such a fun activity. Roaming the aisles with your friends, seeing all the seasonal sections, the fun home decor or food, clothes, books, video games, anything. It's just like Target is just a place to plan your life and get inspired. It's like a real life vision board or Pinterest app. I have the best time in Target, and I feel like, oh, and you can pick up your Starbucks right when you enter to the right. At least that's what's at my Target. It's seen as like our favorite place on earth. And you know, you come in only needing one thing and then you leave with 10 things. Now there's being a war waged on Target that will probably be in the history books one day. But basically what is going on is that we all know Target always has a pretty big pride selection. It's usually put in between like the men and women's clothes. In the past, people kind of trolled the section because it seems like pride clothes made by straight people for gay people. So it's super cringy. It says things like, hi, gay, or like, live, laugh, lesbian, eat, gay, love, or something. But now people are so livid at Target because of the political climate of today, where the extremists are being brought out and think they can just have a stampede and a full-blown toddler temper tantrum wherever anyone except their demographic is being included, because they want to literally like monopolize America as a only cis white straight land. So they're getting extremely upset over the pride collection this year, especially because of the pride clothes in the kids section. So there's a lot of viral videos of MAGA shoppers going into Target, and they'll be vlogging and they'll go to the kids section and show all the display. There's shirts that say like queer or be proud, glad you came out, rainbow hearts. First of all, they think that is very fucked up, because why are you sexualizing kids? Why are you even inferring their sexuality or saying that they might have sexual feelings? Like, they're only kids. What the fuck? And they're saying that, well, they're like a lot of the controversy is centered around the fact that there was a video put on TikTok of a woman showing a pair of pants that she apparently found in the kids section that said that they were tuck-friendly pants. So, say a young transgender girl wants to tuck. And she was showing that on TikTok, and it made a lot of people very mad. And she said, quote, I'm sorry, but pride and toddler don't belong in the same sentence, hashtag boycott Target. This led to Target having multiple bomb threats in multiple different states. so bad that a Target had to be evacuated in Utah because MAGA terrorists were threatening to literally blow up the place over these kid tucking pants and just the pride section in general. Beyonce was so right when she said, "I just entered the country with derringers because these Karens have turned into terrorists." Facts. These Karens are full-blown terrorists now. And people need protection. But I just want to make it very clear that those tucking-friendly pants were not in the kids section. She just brought them to the kids section. It has been completely fact-checked. They were only in adult sizes. So spreading misinformation purposely to rile people on her side up. There's other viral videos of, I'm sure you've seen these, a man picking up and smashing the pride display. There was a rainbow little cardboard, like it goes on top of one of the clothing racks. He took it off, threw it on the ground, was like jumping on it. Customers were walking by him like, "What the fuck are you doing? Do you want to go stand in the corner and think about what you did? You two-year-old freak, you terrible twos, bitch." Videos like that. Also videos of men harassing employees, imploring that they support Satan and they support the sexualization of kids through pride displays. Now, the man who actually picked up the rainbow and stomped on it was exposed as being a closeted gay. His name, I'm outing him. His name is Ethan Crockett. So you can go cyberbully him. Ethan Crockett, I think Ethan Schmidt Crockett, he was exposed being on a gay dating app. Now it all makes sense why he's so angry and so mad, because his extra shame that was festering inside of him manifested as an act of hate and physical violence. And if anyone is that bothered, like truly, if anyone is that bothered, there must be something going on. Like, no one's forcing you to buy these items. And the fact that they let their day get ruined and take physical action because other people in groups that simply aren't theirs are being included is extreme narcissism and mental illness. It's just oddly poor adjusted behavior. They're very poorly adjusted as humans, anyone. So yeah, Targets had to be evacuated because of bomb threats. And Target put out a statement that said they are going to now get rid of a lot of their pride sections and move any remaining pride items to the complete back of the store. So if you really want to go get it, you can walk to the back of the store, but they don't want to make anyone mad or put their employees at risk. So they said, quote, "For more than a decade, Target has offered an assortment of products aimed at celebrating Pride Month. Since introducing this year's collection, we've experienced threats impacting our team members' sense of safety and well-being while at work. Given these volatile circumstances, we are making adjustments to our plans, including removing items that have been at the center of the most significant confrontational behavior. Our focus now is moving forward with continuing commitment to the LGBTQIA community and standing with them as we celebrate Pride Month throughout the year." Now, this is very fucked up, and they actually did put the pride displays in the back. I went to my own Target yesterday, and I was walking through all the clothes. I did not see any very open pride selection. There was still something like midway through the store that was vodka that said take pride. I fucking hate vodka, and drinking it makes me want to die. So I think that's a hate crime, only having pride vodka out in the open. But I saw no pride clothes. There was no pride clothes in the kids section. That makes me very upset for sure, because I actually enjoyed shopping there. And other MAGA... This MAGA Christian rapper put out a song targeting Target, saying that they want to boycott their satanic merch for kids. And this is the lyrics. "They put a target on your back, but they're targeting your kids. Target, target, yeah, they targeting. Target, target, targeting your kids. It's the mayor of MAGAville. I'm preaching again. The LGBTQ have went too far. You know, they cutting these kids, leaving those trannies with scars." First of all, I hate saying that word, and anyone who says that in a serious sense, I immediately hate and think they're an idiot. But that's what he's saying in the song. "They're pushing their promo, pushing sexual genders. You know I'm rocking with Bruce, can't rock with no Caitlyn Jenner. This agenda gotta stop, and you know we're gonna win. God is coming for revenge."
targeting. Target, target, yeah, they target kids. Target, target, yeah, they targeting. Target, target, yeah, they target kids.
Heard the news story, target, targeting kids. They going after our youth, and yeah, they do it like this. If you ain't mad yet, well, then you better be pissed. Let's protest until they close, and they ain't gonna be missed. Why they got pride shirts in the kids' clothing section? Why they trying to mess with the kids and give misconceptions? They manipulating minds and making evil impressions. Got little boys tucking out by time they teens got depression.
We need to clean up on every island side.
So clearly that song is a threat as well. And he was going through Target harassing the whole store for the music video of that song. But the way he says God is coming for revenge sounds like a threat to me. And I don't even, I feel like I don't even need to explain why they're ridiculous. We all know kids are not being targeted. We all know that it's their scapegoat to warrant their extreme hate. And they know their kids are not being targeted. Like, they just 100% know. But I do think they're harming kids. All Target is trying to do with these pride selections is say, is send the message to young kids and just get it through their minds at an early age that if they are gay, that's fine. Just as kids are being groomed 100% of the time to be straight from the time that they're born until they, you know, start dating or whatever, they're being 100% groomed to be straight and sexualized down the path to be straight. And everyone knows this. It's just a fact. So they're just showing kids a different option 1 month of the year that says, hey, take pride, like a rainbow on a shirt. That's really it. And I think when I was a young boy, I would have loved to see those displays and everything, because when everyone was calling me gay, and since like I was like literally six and came into consciousness, that would make me feel okay. Like, if everyone's right with what they're saying, I'll be fine, because people, you know, accept that and take pride in that. So I feel like these MAGA people are really harming kids by taking away that option, because they're going to be gay anyway. And there's false reports going around that Target has lost $9 billion in 1 week following the boycott of Target. But that's false. It hasn't lost any money. People are still shopping there. And these fake reports by the fake news people are not accurate. I saw a tweet that Elon Musk corrected with that little drop down, like, this tweet is false. He really ate with those. He doesn't know what he's doing on Twitter, but he really ate with that one update. It said, there's no public information showing that the boycott of Target caused a drop in market value. Most news publications have predicted or now blame the drop on higher cost causing less sales, not a boycott. Like, duh, inflation is the bigger issue here. And this whole attack on the LGBTQ and transgender people specifically is more so a distraction than anything. These politicians, this isn't actually their main agenda of life. They're just doing it to garner more votes and support on their side and to distract from bigger issues such as inflation, the Willow Project, foreign affairs, other very important things that they don't want the public to look at. So they're saying, oh, look over here, look over here. People are very disappointed in Target because this is showing a lot of performative allyship. And I'm very mad at Target too for canceling their Pride display this year. I think it's really unfortunate. I think it's very weak. And I think being an ally is not only when it's easy, being an ally is all the time, even when it's hard. That's true allyship. So Target has definitely been taken down a peg in my mind. It's no longer my favorite place on earth. I am a bit embarrassed that I shop there like every single day, but it's too big to fail. I'm not going to not shop there. I must. However, I also can see the other side. Like, I get that they don't want bomb threats and they don't want their employees to be scared or feel unsafe. Of course, I don't want anyone to feel that way at work, especially just innocent people who, you know, are not in this business or are being good people. I don't want them to feel threatened. So I feel like there just needs to be a new plan for these civil terrorists that are going around. Like, I don't know what to do, but I feel like there just needs to be a no tolerance policy, a zero tolerance policy for any behavior like that. If you don't like it, I'm sorry, you can get out and you can spread your hate campaigns online. But at the end of the day, we're representing everyone at Target. And I'm sorry if you don't like it. That's what I wish they would do. But I don't think they're going to do that. I want to say one more thing. So about the whole Bud Light controversy of Bud Light working with TikToker and advocate Dylan Mulvaney. Bud Light gave the most horrible apology ever of life to their conservative supporters. So Bud Light has chosen the side of the conservatives. They're not apologizing to gay people. They're not apologizing to Dylan for the harassment and the death threats that she has gotten. They're leaving Dylan for dead. And the CEO of Anheuser-Busch, is that what it is? Yeah, Anheuser-Busch put out a statement to their fans. And it said, as a CEO of a company founded in America's heartland more than 165 years ago, I am responsible for ensuring every single customer feels proud of the beer we brew. We're proud to be a part of the fabric of this country. Anheuser-Busch employs more than 18,000 people in our independent distributor district and an additional 46,000 valued colleagues. We have thousands of partners, millions of fans, and a proud history of supporting a community of military first responders, sports fans, and hardworking Americans everywhere. They're batshit crazy for this apology. They're dog whistling to everyone who they want back on their side, everyone on the right side. It's crazy the amount of dog whistling going on, because not everyone can hear a dog whistle, but all their supporters who will read this will read between the lines and understand that they are basically saying, we also have a history of being transphobic and homophobic, and we're on your side still. They're dog whistling to people who will get what they're saying. We never intended to be a part of the discussion that divides people. We're in the business of bringing people together over beer. My time serving this country taught me the importance of accountability and the values over which America was founded on: freedom, hard work, and respecting one another. That's really ironic, because you would think freedom, hard work, and respect would be towards inclusion, not the opposite. As a CEO, I'm committed to focusing on protecting the proud history and heritage that we have. Wow. Yeah, so they're basically saying, please come back. We have a history of hating these people as well. So what can we learn from all this drama and all this hatred going around? I think we can learn the definition of being a good ally, which is being there in the hard and the good times. And if you're a straight person listening to this who is an ally, I just hope you are willing to go down for the ride and for the fight for the people who you support and love, and you don't buy into all the hate and the propaganda that is trying to be spread against the LGBTQ plus community, because we can really use your support right now. I feel like allies have never, ever been more important. So allies out there, please just learn. It's more than wearing the rainbow flag and going to drink with your gay friends. It's really being there in the hard times. Okay, so let's move on from that. We're going to talk about The Little Mermaid. I have been completely obsessed with this movie. I've been thinking about it, listening to the soundtrack every single day. I've been trying to jump in a pool of water and see if I would turn into a mermaid, giving very clear, clear nar. I want to be Halle Bailey so bad. Like, she's so magnificent and beautiful. I just need to be her. She is the it girl. Sorry, don't hate me because I'm the it girl. I never asked to be the shit girl. Don't call me sis because I'm not your sister. You really need to come get your mister. And I was hoping America all thought the same thing, and the whole world. I hope they all fell in love with Halle Bailey this weekend as well. And even though the reviews of the film are not very good, it only has a 68% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is not certified fresh. I've since looked into this, and there's been a lot of spam reviewing, or like purposeful bad reviewing. I forgot what word they used. Wait, let me look it up. Basically, there's been an influx of really negative reviews because there's haters of the live action movie, especially during because of the fact that Halle Bailey is this black Ariel, and the movie is very inclusive. If you've seen it, it's way more than just one black Ariel. Prince Eric's mom is black. All like Halle's sisters are all different races. People are just very happy that this movie is no longer whitewashed. So there's a spear campaign against it where basically people are putting in an influx of negative reviews to bring down its score. So intense that IMDb had to revamp its rating system for the movie to make sure that what people see is accurate and not just the result of review bombing. So IMDb issued a warning for The Little Mermaid, and it said, unusual activity. Our rating mechanism has detected unusual voting activity on this title specifically. To preserve the reliability of our rating system, an alternate weight calculation has been applied. So they will still accept and consider all votes received by the users, but now not all of those votes will carry the same impact or weight, and they're going to only use reliable, real reviews as the ones carrying the weight for the final score. They say, although we accept and consider all votes received by users, not all of them will continue to carry the same impact on the final rating. When unusual voting activity is detected, an alternate weighting calculation must be applied. The practice of review bombing has only gained popularity in recent years as a contingent of moviegoers to attack anything that they deem controversial. Examples, woman-led projects, the inclusion of LGBTQIA+ characters, or people of color taking a leading role. That's so fucked up that IMDb had to put out that statement. How evil and insane. Like, these Karens are fully terrorists out here. And like I said, anything that is not just for their demographic, they get so pissed and flustered about simple inclusion of someone else in their world. It is not your world. But I think because the tides are turning and they see that the next generations will take away the social power of these cis white straight people, that's why they're getting so mad, because they know they're losing their power. So I feel like we're going to have to deal with this for years to come. But how cool is Disney for making the movie with Halle Bailey as the lead? I have such mad respect for the director, Rob Marshall, for casting her and just taking that risk. I went to see the movie, which I'm seeing again tomorrow because I'm obsessed with it. Half the theater, I would say actually 80% of the theater was Black people and little Black girls who were so excited and just having the most joyous experience of their whole life. And while I was happy to see everyone, I was like, I hope a lot of the other theaters are filled with people of all races who are not boycotting this film. But the good news is the film is still making a lot of money at the box office. It has made about $118 million in its opening weekend. That was the exact projection they were hoping for. So they reached their goal. It is the fifth biggest Memorial Day opening of all time. That's amazing. Halle Bailey responded to that on Twitter and she said, "Thank you, God." Yeah, I feel like the weight of the world was probably on her shoulders with how this went, because she's such an undeniable talent that how could they not cast her? But then again, it's a risk too. And it's so stupid to even say that. But seeing how people are with everything we're talking about, I think she's what made this adaptation so powerful as well, because the movie is no longer just about a teenage mermaid who's angsty and has a fascination with the above world and wants to go see this guy on land and just her getting Eric in the end. It's now about someone who feels displaced and othered and told that they should be scared of people unlike them. And then Eric has the same kind of storyline going on. He's told to be scared of the mermaids in the ocean, and they're other than him. And then the two come together, and then the mermaids and the humans come together. And it's like teaching everyone that we can all exist together, to not be scared of the other. Plus, there's such a beautiful blend of races in this film. If you see, you will understand what I'm saying. So I need you to go see this movie this week if you have not yet. It is the most fun, spectacular, visually orgasmic film you will ever see. And everyone I've talked to have seen it has said they're dying to see it again. They can't just see it once. That under the sea sequence, oh my God. The director said that was the hardest part of the film to make, but it was so fucking fun. I wanted to get up, twerk, shake my ass, have a sea urchin smack my ass and dance with seahorses and turtles. Like, I was having the most fun time of my life. I felt like I was at the club watching that. So you guys have to go watch it and have the best time. How long could we be a sad song till we were too far gone to bring back to life? I gave you all my best beats, my endless empathy, and all I did was bleed as I tried to be the bravest soldier fighting in only your army. Front lines, don't you ignore me. I'm the best thing at this party. Babe, say something, lose something, babe. Okay, so this next segment is for the Swifties. So if you're not a Swiftie, I recommend maybe class can just end early for you today, because this is some real Taylor Swift deep diving. You know that one university who has a Taylor Swift college course? I could teach that course with what I'm about to say. But I'm going to the Eras Tour in 5 days on Saturday. Ah! I'm so excited. I've never been more excited in my life. Me and Taylor Swift are going to be in the same room at the same time. All the stars will finally align for that to happen. I'm dressing as You Need to Calm Down, Taylor. I'm going to have the pink coat and tattoos on my back because it's going to be Pride Month. Maybe I'll get attacked or something, but it's fine. It's worth it. I'm so excited, though. At her tour this weekend, she did something quite funny that kind of confirmed her and Joe are over, because while she was performing The Archer, she was singing the lyrics, "Who could ever leave me, darling? But who could stay?" And she made like a cringe face, like, ugh. It was very clear when she said, "Who could ever leave me, darling?" She was like, ugh. Everyone, because, you know, everyone has left her. Oh, sorry, Taylor, didn't mean to gag you. But it's true, like, everyone has left her. So in response to that, Taylor has now dropped the saddest song she has ever put out in her whole life. And it's called, quote, "You're Losing Me." "You're Losing Me" is what the song was called. And I feel like this song was the missing chapter of the Midnight's book that Taylor Swift didn't put out with the album on purpose, because maybe her and Joe were still deciding if they were going to continue or not when it dropped in October 2022. And there were photos of them together after October 2022, so they were still together. But now I think that they officially broke up. Taylor has put out this song, and it's almost as if she took this little excerpt and stuck it back in a book. And now the whole story makes sense. Because Midnight's, to me, and I feel like to everyone, we couldn't tell if it was joyous or happy or a breakup album. Like, we couldn't really tell what it was. But this chapter has made the whole story make sense, and we know 100% Midnight's was the breakup album. But for everyone being like, oh, this breakup album is going to slap, we already got the breakup album. And I hope you think it slaps, because it's already out there. Remember when she was like, Midnight's is about 12 nights in my life where I was staying awake in the middle of the night. And it's about thoughts that keep me up at night. But she framed it as if it was from spread out her whole life, not just the past few years. So everyone was dissecting, oh, when was this from? What was this about? Was this from 2010, 2012, 2014? Which song is this referring to? Which year is this referring to? But now I think that thing was all a lie. I think Taylor Swift is a mastermind. She's smart, and she didn't want everyone to know that her whole world was falling apart currently. So she was like, oh no, this album is actually about Midnights of my past. But no, I think this album was actually about Midnights of her present. So I just played the song "You're Losing Me" in between the segments there. So that's what the song sounds like. But I kind of want to go through the lyrics of the song and say how it proves that Midnights and Folklore and Evermore were all the breakup albums. And we're just going to quickly read through the lyrics, and then I'm going to say which songs it exposes as being about Joe and her relationship that maybe we didn't know in the past was about Joe and relationship. Yeah, she was kind of covering up the autobiographical aspects of her songs for a while. Because remember when Folklore came out and she was like, oh, this song is all about fictional characters? I think some of the songs were about fictional characters, like Betty and Inez. But I think a lot of the songs were about her and Joe. And I think so was Evermore and Midnights. But she covered all those up because she didn't want everyone to know how horrible things were going. But now we know, and we can put the pieces together thanks to this key that the song is, you know? It's like the final chapter. So let's start with the first chorus of the song. We're going to skip over the first verse just because it's so long, but the first chorus of the song is where things get juicy. Super simple chorus. It just says, stop, you're losing me. Stop, you're losing me. Stop, you're losing me. I can't find a pulse. My heart won't beat anymore for you. Oh, that's very, very sad. But it shows that Maroon on Midnights was always about Joe, because the lyrics of Maroon say, I lost you, the one I was dancing with in New York. So clearly the chorus being, you're losing me, I lost you. Her and Joe infamously lived together in New York. It is all about her and Joe. And Maroon was definitely the biggest red flag about their relationship on Midnights that got people questioning. But she was like, okay, maybe it's about Harry Styles or Calvin Harris, someone else she lived with in New York. No, it was about Joe Alwyn. The next lyric goes, every morning I glared at you with storms in my eyes. How can you say you love someone that you can't tell is dying? That song relates to high infidelity on Midnights because she says, do I really have to tell you where I was April 29th? Do I really have to chart the constellations in his eyes? Storm coming, good husband, bad omen. So those two relate because of how she says there were storms in my eyes. And then in High Infidelity, she goes, chart the constellation in his eyes, a storm is coming. Too much of a coincidence for High Infidelity to not be about Joe. And then she continues on in High Infidelity and she says, dragged my feet right down the aisle, at the house, lonely, good money, I'd pay if you just know me. You know there's many different ways to kill the one you love. The slowest way is never loving them enough. And the second line, how can you say that you love someone you can't tell is dying? Like I would pay if you would just know me. How can, like, the way you kill someone you love is never loving them enough. So clearly he doesn't know her, and both of those songs are about Joe. That just also relates to the song Tolerate It on Evermore, when she says, you assume I'm fine, but what would you do if I break for you, leave us in ruins, took this dagger in me and removed it, gain the weight of you and lose it. Believe me, I can do it. It's just about not being appreciated, and this guy can't tell that she's dying. He just assumes she's fine. The next line of You're Losing Me is, I sent you signals and bit my nails down to the quick. So obviously, I sent you signals. I'm trying to tell you that our relationship is dying, but you won't pick up on these signals that I'm sending. And in Exile, that I believe her and Joe wrote together, she says, I gave so many signs, so many signs. You couldn't even see the signs. I think I've seen this film before, and I didn't like the ending. That is now obviously about her and Joe, just given the situation. And then on Midnights, further proving that it was the breakup album, on the song The Great War, she says, spineless in my tomb of silence, tore your banners down, took this battle underground. I drew curtains closed, drank my poison all alone. So she's saying there, I sent you signals, like, I tore your banners down, I took this battle underground. She was trying to send him sly signals, you know, taking the battle underground. It's not a verbal thing. It's a subverbal thing. She's trying to low-key tell him underground what's going on, but he's not picking up on her signals. So she just bit her nails down to the quip. You know, she had her mouth shut. She was just biting her nails. She was spineless in her tomb of silence, drinking her poison all alone as she watched this relationship die. The next line is, my face was gray, but you wouldn't admit that we were sick. The air is thick with loss and indecision. So that's a very sad lyric, of course, knowing that she felt sick in this relationship because it was going so bad for like 3 or 4 years. Awful. But that relates to the line from the Midnights track, Bigger Than the Whole Sky, when she says, every single thing I touch became sick with sadness. That's very sad. And then in the Midnights track, Hits Different, she says, my sadness was contagious. Then in the Midnight's track, Bejeweled, she says, sadness became my whole sky. And so it's weird how all these Midnight's tracks are connecting and we didn't even see it. Like, she sent us so many signs. We're just as bad as Joe. We should have did a wellness check on her. Because one song says, every single thing I touch becomes sick with sadness. My sadness is contagious. Sadness became my whole sky. But then it relates to the You're Losing Me song, when she goes, you wouldn't admit that we were sick, and the air is thick with loss and indecision. And we know she refers to Joe as her sky, because in the Evermore track, Tolerate It, she goes, I made you my mural, my temple, my whole sky, and now I'm begging for footnotes in the story of your life. because he's just not appreciating her. Joe, they really just broke up because Joe didn't appreciate her. That's what happened. But now let's get to the bridge of You're Losing Me, because it's really the saddest part of this whole Shakespearean tragedy of a song. It starts with, how long could we be a sad song till we were too far gone to bring back to life? I mean, she just has so many sad songs that her and Joe wrote together. So how long could we make sad songs before we just decide to stop being the people creating them? Because clearly we're not happy. So before we're just too far gone. That can be seen in songs like Champagne Problems, It's Time to Go, Exile. Just all these really sad songs about their relationship. She continues and goes, I gave you all my best me's, my endless empathy. I think the lyric, I gave you all my best me's, can reflect in You're on Your Own, Kid, because she talks about constantly trying to change herself to be saved by a perfect kiss. She says, like, from sprinkler splashes to fireplace ashes, I gave my blood, sweat, and tears for this. Hosted parties, starved my body like I'd be saved by a perfect kiss. Like, she's trying to give her best me to Joe. Also in the song Mirror Ball on Folklore, when she says, I'm still on that tightrope, still trying everything to get you looking at me. Like, she's just trying to impress him any way she possibly can. She continues and sings, my endless empathies is what she gave him. So the line is, I gave you all my best me's, my endless empathy. Giving Joe empathy can reflect in songs like Afterglow and Peace or My Tears Ricochet, because a lot of those songs are about like her forgiving Joe for things that he did or being aware of the level of empathy you have to have in a relationship for things to go good. Because My Tears Ricochet is all about, if you hurt the one you love, it's going to hurt you too. So it's just a song about empathy. The next line is, and all I did was bleed as I tried to be your greatest soldier. All I did was bleed as I tried to be your greatest soldier. Obviously, that can be seen in the Great War. But the line, all I did was bleed, can be seen in Death by a Thousand Cuts, because saying goodbye would be death by a thousand cuts. That's so sad. Because now she left, so I guess she got cut 1,000 times. She continues, fighting in only your army, front lines, don't you ignore me. Yeah, all this war metaphor and analogy going on definitely relates to the Great War. Then she continues, I'm the best thing at this party. You're losing me. I like that line, I'm the best thing at this party, because it's almost a little hopeful for her life after the relationship. And it's like, she's no longer begging for him to see her. She's just like, I don't get why he doesn't appreciate me, because I'm the best thing at this party. And it relates to the song You're On Your Own, Kid, from Midnights, when she says, I searched the party for better bodies and realized I'm not rare. But, you know, she's looking at the party to see if there's anyone better. And then in Bejeweled, when she says, I'm going out tonight to a party, you know, I can still make the whole place shimmer. That's a song about going somewhere else where she will be appreciated. And I love the line in Bejeweled, when I meet the band, they'll ask, do you have a man? I'll say, I don't remember. And that can be seen as, who is the guy she's dating now? Matty Healy. He is the lead singer of a band. There seemed to be a really short break in between her with Joe and her with Matty. So maybe she went out, met Matty. He was like, are you single? And she was like, I don't know. Can't tell, because this twat at home, this little British tool, this slack-jawed wanker at home won't appreciate me. Then it gets crazy. She says, I wouldn't marry me either. Relating to songs like The One, Champagne Problems, and Lavender Haze. Also Midnight Rain. And then she says, I'm a pathological people pleaser who only wanted you to see her. Pathological people pleaser can relate to anti-hero, mastermind, only wanting to be seen by him, because mastermind's all about how she set up their relationship and did anything she could just so he would be forced to, you know, be in the same place at the same time as her and get together. She just wanted him to see her. Then the last lines of the song go, And I'm fading, thinking, do something, babe, say something. Lose something, babe, risk something. Choose something, babe, I got nothing to believe unless you're choosing me. The final song I think that can reflect on that proves Midnights was the breakup album is Question, ... because that song is all about, like, did you give up too soon on a relationship? Do you wish you put up more of a fight? The lyrics go, did you leave her house in the middle of the night? Did you wish you put up more of a fight? When she said it was too much, do you wish you could still touch her? And I just like the line, do you wish you put up more of a fight? Because she's begging for him to put up a fight, say anything, risk anything, do anything. And I might stay, but I just can't tell if you're choosing me. And it's almost like she's dying to ask him these questions, but their relationship was already over, or basically over when that song was written, I bet you. I think she should have released Midnights without a track five. That would have drove people crazy. Like, imagine the set list being 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. People would be like, where's track five? But she would only release it if they later broke up. Oh, that would be so good. She should have done that. If she made an announcement that's like, I'm going to release track five this week, there'd be a 10.0 magnitude earthquake on the Swifter Richter scale. The Swifter Richter scale. Because of how crazy all the fans would go. And then the track five was, you're losing me. It's like the answer key in the back of a textbook that once you're done with the problem, you go and look and see what the answer was. Like, we have all these songs that clearly showed a problem, but we're like, what is going on? Like, what is the answer here? And You're Losing Me was really that. And it proves Midnights was always the breakup album. It's so tragic and so sad. But I really liked dissecting that. I hope it wasn't too messy to listen to and you could understand where I was going with it and everything. I put a similar video like that on TikTok, but I only referred to Midnight's tracks. So in this, I kind of referred to like three albums. So I hope you enjoyed that. But yeah, I'm so excited to see her on Saturday. And if you're going to the Chicago show, please hit me up. I would love to like meet and take a photo. I'll be on the floor because I'm so rich and, you know, opulent and famous. So, but I mean, I'm going like really early in the parking lot to trade bracelets and everything. Definitely hit me up. I would love to see you. I was talking to people at the bar about it and I was like, I really want the 22 hat. That's my dream. And it was these snobby little trust fund affluent babies. And you can tell their parents paid for these tickets. And they were like, we're going front row, section B or whatever, like right in front of the stage. And they were really emphasizing like right in front, like right in front of the stage. Like we're like fucking right in front. And I was like, oh, I want the 22 hat. And they were like, ah, you'll never get the 22 hat. That's for people in the front row. And I was like, I think you're just an idiot. That's for people who Taylor handpicks out. It's not just because they're standing in the front. It's for like Selena Gomez's little sister and that Michael guy who made the Bejeweled dance on TikTok. And guess who's more respected and poppin' on TikTok than you? Me. So I hope I get the 22 hat. I'm pretty nice to Taylor online too, but I feel like I might get it too because I'm wearing the Pride outfit and it's Pride month. It's like the first day of Pride month. So maybe she'll be like, let's give it to a gay person tonight. Just once, just to show my allegiance. But I really want the 22 hat. I'm so excited. Either way, I'm going to have the best night of my fucking life. And yeah, tell me what you think about Midnights in my DMs. Tell me what you think about the tour if you're going. I'd love to hear it. Oil. Okay, guys, well, thank you for joining me on today's episode. I had such a great time. I'm posting this one a little bit at a different scheduled time on a Tuesday, just because I want to get used to that. I want to not be staying up in the middle of the night just because I have so many things to do in the morning this week, and I'll be staying out late on like Thursday and Saturday, and I would normally make it on Thursday night, but I'm doing things on Thursday night with Ava Max's team or whatever, so I don't want to potentially not post on Thursday. So I was like, let me just do it on Friday in the morning instead. But yeah, let's get to the superlatives of today's episode. So I would say America's favorite celebrity this week is still Halle Bailey. I just love her. I'm so obsessed with her. Like, this is her moment. This is her week. And I will never keep fighting for her. Public enemy number one is the MAGA terrorist. I need to get some Derringers because these Karens have turned into terrorists. So all the Karens are the public enemies. Most likely to be canceled next, Jenna Ortega. Smoking that damn cigarette, looking dumb, but she's still an icon. I'm saying she looks dumb as like her friend. I'm like, girl, you look dumb. Like, you're better than this. The secret villain, Joe Alwyn. He was the secret villain the whole time. We thought like Taylor was so happy and he's the one, and he makes her calmer and feel better than anyone ever before. But no, he was actually making her feel unappreciated for like years and years and years and years and years. Most likely to be canceled next, probably the superstore Target. Most likely to be canceled next, which I never thought I would say because Target's like my happy place. But it's true with everything that's going on. All right, well, that'll be it for today's episode. But I hope you enjoyed the tea and the lessons and the banter and blah, blah, blah. But I hope you have the best week ever. I'm so sorry that work and regularly scheduled programs are back into swing. But it's almost the summertime and the living will be easy. So have the best week and I will see you guys on Friday. Okay, bye.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.